Thank you very much. Now, Richard Herring is sometimes chaperoned by Stuart Lee. Sometimes he travels alone. Tonight he's by himself on account of he wants to tread the tightrope of talking about his new show, Talking Cock. And one can understand why Mr. Lee is distancing himself from this entertainment, which Richard Herring's publicist describes as the vagina monologues with balls. It's at the Soho Theatre. It's up and running now. It plays until October the 19th. Another description of it is, I think from a Scottish newspaper, a lewd and lascivious lecture on the uses and misuses of the flute of love. It was inspired, I think, by you were sharing a theatre at Edinburgh with the vagina.
It was actually here in London. I was in the Arts Theatre with last year doing my show Christ on a Bike, which was a similarly scurrilous show. I was on after them, so I'd sit backstage listening to the vagina monologues every night and gales of laughter coming in, full audience, and then I'd go on to perform to 50 people and thought maybe I should do something about that people will want to come and see.
So you've opened one of these things called a website.
I have, yes. It's a new invention. It's got two questionnaires. They're anonymous questionnaires on there, all about the spam javelin, one for men and one for women. And I've had, it's amazing. I set it up. I wasn't quite sure where I was going to go with the show, and the website was just going to be a little part of it. But within the first 24 hours, I'd had 1,000 people had filled in the questionnaire, and it's now approaching 5,000.
But how do you make the balance between what you describe as knob gags and serious observations?
I think it's quite tricky to get that balance right, and I have been working on it quite a while just to get the balance right. And I think, it's joyous because obviously you can make all the knob gags to begin with, and that's what everyone's expecting, and then you can turn around and go, well, actually it's wrong to do that because a lot of men are suffering in silence. And I've had a lot of very, very funny stories, and the show is largely funny, but there are obviously quite a lot of sad and tragic things.
You have an historical side to it, the perspective, don't you, from Priapus to Bobbit?
Yeah, my favourite historical god is Enki, who's a Sumerian god who created the Euphrates, basically, by onanistic purposes, is what I'll say for Channel Radio 4. People understand that the flowing waters of the Euphrates are from his issue, and he said, let now my penis be praised, which I think... I'd quite like to bring him back as a new god. I think the churches would be full every Sunday if we could have this guy.
I've heard that before.
The swimming house would be empty.
Why is there an Icelandic penis museum?
Oh, my goodness. I don't know why, but there is.
Yes.
I flew out to Iceland. Yeah, I found out about it on the internet.
Yes.
And I flew out to Iceland. It's run by a man called Sigurdur Hjartarson. For the last 30 or 40 years, he's been collecting the severed penises of Icelandic mammals. I said to him, why just Icelandic mammals? Why not all of them? He said, well, only a lunatic would attempt that. There are too many. It's very disturbing. But I flew to Iceland just to go and see that, and then I flew immediately home again without going to see any of the geezers or the ice hotel or anything. And I had to tell the bloke at customs what I was doing, and it was quite good fun to look at his astonished Icelandic face.
Thoughtful review by the Herald in Scotland saying men are no longer so dominant. The rise of feminine has condemned the penis to a kind of cultural detumescence. Women aren't afraid of it anymore. No longer the so, and it's no longer the symbol of male power. Do we go into this emergence of feminism and the detumescence of the penis?
Yeah, I mean, it is. I think there's a lot of it about what it is to be a man, and I think we are sort of at a point where men are a bit confused about their role in society because obviously industry has changed. We're not really needed for brute strength, even war. We're not particularly required for war in the Western world anymore, and perhaps even not for sexual reproduction. We may reach a point where men are chained up in dungeons and milked like aphids simply for their sperm. I certainly hope so myself. So it is quite interesting. I mean, and men have to... I had an early preview of it that said men don't... The reason the vagina monologues worked is because women were ashamed and embarrassed about their genitalia and couldn't speak about it. But I think... And that's why a male one wouldn't work. But I think it's actually more true of men. Men absolutely can't talk about any of this stuff.
Do you go into does size matter?
I absolutely do,
philosophical,
yes,
question.
I do. I mean, that's quite sad. And it seems about a quarter of men, perhaps a little bit more, are actually... embarrassed or ashamed or very worried about something, have serious hang-ups about it, and there's guys who say they're suicidal over this, and people feel awkward. And interestingly, when you go, because I've got all the statistics, you can go back and look at the size of these guys, and a lot of them actually have above average size penises and are still suffering in silence, thinking that they're small, because presumably they've seen porn films which are slightly unrealistic or at one end of the spectrum, and film from below, which gives you a bigger perspective. You view from above, guys, which perspective wise makes it look smaller. It's an interesting fact.
The audiences for the vagina monologues were mainly women. Is your audience mainly men?
It's actually my problem with the vagina monologues was that when I went to see it as a man, I felt I was very excluded, and also that the vagina was treated completely in isolation. There was nothing about the sharing of genitals. The only story about sharing genitals was about rape, and the only positive story about a man was a man who enjoyed looking at a vagina. And I thought that was kind of weird, because genitals are made to be shared in whichever way you want to share them, with whoever you want to share them. It actually seems to go down almost better with women.
How is this going to go down in Cheddar and Wookie Hole and your home background?
Well, my parents are going to come and see it at some point, which I'm
fine. I don't think they're going to like it down there. No, rather, I don't think.
They've still got genitalia in Cheddar. They choose to share it with some unusual things. But
you're becoming a bit of an agony uncle, I suppose.
It is weird. Luckily and unluckily, the questionnaire is anonymous, so you get a lot of things where you really want to write back to the person and go, really, this isn't such a problem. But
well, there it is at the Soho Theatre till sometime in the next month, isn't it?
Yeah.
Running on happily. Thank you very much, Richard.